What's going on? Welcome back to the Insight with Irv show. In this episode, we sit down with special guest Ryan Pineda, who shares with us his story of what it was like to play minor league baseball, to flipping couches, to flipping millions of dollars worth of real estate, and how he teaches other people to do the same exact thing that he's been able to do to create financial freedom in his own life. Get ready to get some insight from Ryan Pineda on today's episode of The Insight with Irv Show.
Right, what's going on? Welcome back to The Insight with Irv Show. So today's guest, he is a familiar face if you are checking us out over on YouTube. And if you are listening to us on a podcast, we have special guest Ryan Pineda. You guys probably know him for his creative TikToks, possibly his own YouTube channel, or even if you are have just been checking him out for his real estate content, specifically house flipping, which we're going to be getting into here in this episode. Ryan, what's going on, brother? Talk to me.
What's up, bro? Nice to have me. Nice to finally meet you, dude.
Likewise, man. Likewise. I know that we were trying to set this up about a month back, so we had our schedules kind of going back and forth. But seriously, I just want to thank you for hopping on here with me today.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to be on. Your channel's crushing it. We were just talking about how quick you've grown. And man, it's super cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. And likewise, I know that I think your channel really started taking off. And I think that this is maybe the video that everyone started watching. And if you did, leave it down in the comments how you guys discovered Ryan. But I came across your couch flipping channel or your couch flipping video, which everyone kind of has that video, right? And I think that that one right there was really it for at least the one that I discovered for you.
Yeah, man. It's funny, dude, because it's like I make all these real estate videos that, you know, I'm like, okay, this is going to change someone's life. Like, this is where, you know, people can really get financial freedom. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'll just make this couch flipping video because I used to do it. And it was just this thing that I've never really heard anyone else do. And I'll just tell them how I did it. And then all of a sudden I'm just like watching. I'm like, what the heck is going on right now? Like the TikTok popped off, the YouTube popped off. I was like, people really like want a couch flip. And it just kind of started this like whole movement for all these hustlers. They're like, dang, like, okay, you know, maybe I don't believe I can get into real estate investing, but I could for sure flip a couch.
And I think that that's that piece of content where it's like anyone can jump in at any time. And I think that that's why it really popped off the way that it did. But before couch flipping, I mean, is that how you kind of came about it, or did that come after house flipping? Which one came first?
Yeah, so couch flipping happened first for me. You know, I had just gotten married. This was back in 2013. You know, my wife was 21. She was in college. I didn't have a job. I was a minor league baseball player. At that point, I pretty much stopped doing real estate as an agent. I know you were telling me you were an agent before too. And I just hated it. I'm like, dude, real estate sucks. You know, baseball's not going the way I thought, but man, I'm married and I better start figuring out how to pay the bills. And so ironically at the time I was substitute teaching. That was how I was making like just enough to pay the bills. You know, I was making $100 a day substitute teaching. And I always forget to tell that story because it's like an afterthought. But you know, we had just moved into our apartment together and I remember just buying all the furniture. You know, and it was all on Craigslist. It was all used. I furnished the whole place for like $1,000. And I just remember they're looking at it like, man, I got such great deals on that. I'd always been good at finding deals. And I'm like, I bet you I could sell all this for $3,000. Easy. And I was like, but whatever, you know, it was just a thought. Then I was just sitting there while I was substitute teaching the next day. And I just had this thought. I'm like, man, I'm sitting here for 6 hours to make $100. If I just find one good deal on just anything, I can make $100 easy. Like, I know I can. I've done it before. And so I put the theory to the test. That day, while I was substitute teaching, I was on Craigslist, like looking up deals and ended up finding a couch, made an offer. And I was like, hey, after I'm done, you know, later after I get off work, I'm going to go pick up the couch. So I picked it up, brought it back to the apartment and, you know, made the $100, you know, a couple of days later, sold it. Yeah. And, I was like, dude, I'm onto something. That was 1,000 times easier than substitute teaching and way more fun. And after doing it a couple of times in the apartment, I just was like, I'm all in. I bought a truck off Craigslist for $1,500. I bought a storage unit to put the couches in because my wife wasn't going to have all this junk in the apartment. And that was the start of like my first, I would call it real business. You know, being a realtor, yeah, I guess, is a real business. But, you know, it was like just – it was different. This, it's I had a different storefront, you know, I was putting product, I was, you know, marketing it. It was totally different.
No kidding. And so did that also kind of lead into you kind of having that hunger for, you know what, if I can flip this at a smaller scale, what would it look maybe at a macro scale?
For sure. You know, I tell people this all the time. Couch flipping was the best thing that ever happened to me. Not because it was making great money at the time. I mean, I thought I was the richest dude in the world when I made $4,000 a month doing it. And then I scaled it, made six and then eight. I'm like, dude, does nobody realize that this is a thing? Like, this is way easier than other $100,000 a year jobs. But over that time of doing it, I probably flipped about 1,000 couches. And
wow. And this is by yourself, or did you have a team already?
Majority were by myself, but as I transitioned into real estate, I hired it out. So okay. I started getting a guy to deliver them for me and pick them up for me. And eventually real estate started taking off where it just didn't even make sense to keep doing that. I was like, I'm just done with it completely. Somebody else can go take the reins. I'm sure all the Vegas people who were reselling were happy to see me leave the game. But you know, what happened was during that time of negotiating, you know, 1,000 transactions, I learned negotiation skills. I learned how to haggle. I learned how to deal with problems. I learned, especially too in the real estate space, I learned all of the areas of Las Vegas. I had picked up and delivered everywhere. And so I was so fortunate to have gone through that. And also during that time, I was just listening to podcasts and really just taking it all in. And so it was a great experience. And eventually when I realized that I could actually do the same thing with real estate, you know, I didn't need all the money that I thought I needed.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is now what I'm going to flip. Because instead of making $200, let's go make $20,000.
Exactly. How did you land your first home flip deal or real estate flipping deal?
Yeah. So this was back in the end of 2014. My wife and I were on our 1 year anniversary. I'd been couch flipping for, you know, probably about a year, doing it successfully. And, you know, we were living a decent life at that point. And I just remember I had the calling, you know, from God. I was praying. I was like, hey God, you know, I'm super grateful that I have this, life that we have. And, but you know, I don't think I'm going to be doing this forever. I can't see myself just flipping junk the rest of my life. And just, you know, I won't get into the long detail. I know we don't have a lot of time, but he revealed to me that I could get back into real estate, which was the furthest thing from my mind, because it was the career I started when I was 21, you know, and I gave up by the time I was 23, 24. And, you know, I thought I was just going to be a hustler, but sure enough, I realized that, hey, you know what? I don't need my own money. That was my biggest false belief about real estate, that I needed all this money, all these tax returns and credit. Because I didn't have tax returns from flipping couches. I didn't have tax returns from all this other stuff. So I'm like, I'm like, how do I get a loan? I can't even flip a house. And I realized that all of that was a false belief. You can get hard money loans. You can get private lenders. You could wholesale. And so once I realized that money wasn't the issue, I was like, oh, well, I know how to get deals. That's like my bread and butter of anything in life. I can negotiate and get deals. So, you know, I ended up making the commitment. I tell my wife, I'm like, babe, we are going all in on flipping houses. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to make it happen. So about a couple of months later, I find my first deal and I don't have the money. You know, I'd saved up 10 grand from flipping couches. And I end up maxing out all my credit cards to fund that first deal. And it was about $50,000. And I don't say this very often, but the whole $50,000 was not all mine. Probably half of that was my wife's.
Oh boy.
So, and I don't even know if she knew I maxed them out. But I was like, hey, we're all in. We're doing it. So I maxed them out and bought that first deal. And man, the rest is history, dude. You know, thankfully it worked out and we made money and I just kept rolling it over into the next one.
I love to hear stories like that. I mean, especially because everyone always thinks that everything is just fairy tales. You know, you see the content. What you're really seeing is the edited version where you're kind of just putting everything together in a 10-minute clip or a 15-minute clip, but no one actually sees, you know, the trials and tribulations. And it's always interesting to me hearing how God speaks to other people of just you know, this was the furthest thing that I had in my mind, right? It's never the most comfortable thing that he takes us into, but we do all ultimately grow from those things. What would he say, because you speak to thousands of people when it comes to, you know, real estate and other business ventures, but specifically with real estate, what would you say are maybe just some top reasons of what holds people back?
For sure, money. I mean, people think that they need all this money in the world and they can't get started. And that was my false belief. So I know it's an issue. And the reality is money is actually the easiest part of this business. Getting the deal is where the value is created. And so, you know, if you get good at finding deals, you can do a number of things. You have the bag. You can choose to wholesale it to a guy like me, and I'll pay you that quick buck. I mean, I've paid wholesale fees over six figures on deals.
Wow.
You know, they didn't have to buy it. They didn't have to renovate it. They just found and negotiated a good deal and they found the buyer. So
it makes sense to you.
The numbers still made sense. I don't ever care what anyone else makes. If my numbers make sense, I'm good. So, you know, you could wholesale. Another thing you could do is JV. So you could bring that same deal to me and you're like, Ryan, let's partner on it. And I'll say, okay, you know, here's what a partnership would look like. I mean, I've done 50-50s. I've done deals where they got 10%, but it was their first deal and they learned along the way and it was super valuable to them. So, you know, it just depends on how much meat is on the bone with the deal when it comes to a JV. But, you know, if you do take the deal down yourself, there's so many lenders out there who will give you money on these deals. And, you know, you take it down, you can potentially fund deals with no money out of your own pocket if you do it the right way. And then, you know, flip it yourself, learn. You're probably going to mess up on some things, but if you got a good deal, you should make money, especially in today's market where it's really hard to screw up. Even if you screw up, you might get bailed out by appreciation.
Yeah.
I would say money's the number one thing that stops people. And to give the second one that I see, it's for sure paralysis by analysis. I see that all the time with people that even watch my videos and I call them out, man. I mean, I'm like, look, if you've been watching my videos for whatever, you know, I get people like, man, I've been subscribed since, you know, 5,000 subs. I'm like, how many deals have you done? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm like, bro, stop. Yeah. Quit watching my videos.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, go get out the house and go take action and get a deal. Because you are wasting my time. You're wasting your time. If you ain't going to actually do something, it's a waste. Like, go do something else. So I think a lot of people just watch YouTube. They watch all the stuff. They read books. They listen to podcasts. And that stuff is great as long as you take action. And the moment that stuff starts becoming like your entertainment instead of your education, you got a problem. And so I would say that's probably the biggest thing.
That's so key right there. I mean, I hope they caught that. Kind of like another way of saying that is if you're just taking that information and if you're not doing anything with it, you're just being entertained. At that point, it's not even education. It's entertainment.
It's crazy, dude. People like listening to podcasts and like the dream of making money is entertaining. And I guess, I mean, it's a fantasy, but I'm giving you all the tools to actually really do it.
Yeah. And the thing is that you're on more than one place. Like you're on Instagram. You have your own podcast, you're on YouTube, you have your TikTok. And so I see the value that you're providing and it's coming in all different ways, shape, or forms. And then you even have your exclusive mentorship. So even if someone says, well, I can't afford a one-on-one with him, I mean, just being able to have access to someone like you who's doing thousands of deals a year, you know, you just can't beat that because this same time, 15, 20 years ago, let's be honest here, we wouldn't even be in the same room with someone kind of like what we would have in a podcast.
Well, even 5 to 7 years ago, you know, I started this in 2015. There was not these YouTube channels like ours or, you know, all of these podcasts. Back then, it was like literally Bigger Pockets was the first one on the scene. Just, you know, really making, real estate education like free and known and just like really transparent. Before that, it was always the guru seminars and all the, it was like this hidden information that nobody knew. And then Bigger Pockets kind of brought it to life. And now you see it kind of evolve to what it is today where, you know, the information for sure is out there. There's no doubt about it. You don't have to pay me for mentorship or take one of my courses. You could go find everything. The problem is most people don't know what to believe because there's a ton of information out there. They're like, how do I parse through it and know what's real, what's not? That's one thing. Second thing is the time it takes to do that. I mean, if I need to go learn something at this point for me, I know that my time is the only limited resource I have. I'd rather go pay a guy 20 G's to go tell me exactly how to do this right now, because I know he's done it. He's legit. And it saves me a year of trying to go stumble through it myself. So it really depends on your situation, on what's the best path for you. But I would just tell you, it's really comes down to the world is way different today than it was 5-10 years ago. So if you're not doing deals at this point, you're doing something wrong. You're the problem. And if you're the problem and you're trying to do the same things over and over again and still not get results, then that's dumb. Like, do something different. Go pay a mentor or stop watching YouTube. Do something different.
Yeah, because at that point it becomes insanity if you're doing the same thing, expecting different results, right? With you though, I know that you do some wholesale, but mainly house flipping.
Right.
You have multiple businesses. One of them in particular, which I'm sure a lot of people have been really eyeing, has been your digital creation side. What's that looking like for you in 2021? The process, how many you've been able to hire out? I know that now you have some editors. I'm not sure if you still script your own videos. What does that process look like for you? How have you been able to scale that business?
Yeah, so, you know, when I decided to quote unquote become a content creator, influencer, or whatever you want to call it, I treated it like every other business I own. Like, hey, let's build an org chart. Let's identify the positions we need. Let's find the very best people. And then let's identify what it is I personally need to do, you know, at the beginning to get that thing going. And then what's the plan look like to scale me out of it and, you know, basically have as little of my own time into it as possible, right? A big theme for me, if anyone who follows me, is time. I'm like, yo, that's the only limited resource I have. How do I like just limit it in all of these businesses? So when I first started out, you know, there's no revenue coming in from it. It's a brand new business. And, you know, for anyone who's tried to make a YouTube channel, we all know, you know, starting at zero subscribers, there's no guarantee that you ever hit, but it's for sure tough. It's a lot of work for very little return until you actually get some traction. So, you know, I started during COVID, just literally filming at my dining table. You guys can go watch my first videos. Bought a camera. That was my investment in the deal. And then my wife edited my videos. That was the dream team. Me and my wife. She was with me with flipping couches, and she was with me through all the other stuff that I've done. So after that, we get some traction. You know, the world starts opening up again. I'm like, all right, it's time to hire. So, you know, I end up hiring my videographer. You know, it's just me and him. We're putting out content, you know, paying him about $3,000 a month. We're doing our thing. It's good. We start getting some traction. We start wanting to do more videos. I'm like, let's hire a second editor, you know, so we can put out more content. All right, this is going crazy. We're having trouble like posting the content now because we're on all these different platforms. Let's hire a content manager. These positions, by the way, there's nobody who's telling you how to do this. Like, I'm like creating this business out of thin air that doesn't exist, just like couch flipping. I'm like, all right, these are what I'm struggling with. I need to create these positions. So I get a content manager whose job is to now post all the content, write the descriptions. You know, writing descriptions takes forever.
Help me
come up with titles and thumbnails and all this stuff. So, you know, we have his role. Then I need an assistant. Then we need, we start the podcast. We need a podcast editor. And then I'm like, let's devote each person to a certain, you know, social media platform. So we get one guy who's only on TikTok, one guy who's only on YouTube. And it just becomes this big thing, you know, especially in graphic design. We need graphic designers for thumbnails and other things. So all in all, in the span of starting from scratch, no overhead, me and my wife, to where it is today, where I would say we spend about $40,000 a month in overhead salaries. That's kind of where the business has grown. And it's this big kind of thing that I like where we're at, but we're still always trying to improve and make videos better and content better. By no means are we where I want to be as far as infrastructure wise, but also obviously results wise. We want to, you know, be one of the biggest creators like across all platforms.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. That's kind of what the business looks like today. The one thing I'll say is for most creators, they are looking at the ROI based on like what they're bringing in with sponsors and AdSense and affiliates and those types of things. Those are their business. Whereas me, we kind of have an unfair advantage because I don't care about that stuff. It's like that stuff's a drop in the bucket to my real businesses. If I can draw traffic to my real businesses, that other stuff I could care less about. Really, that stuff just like funds the overhead. And it's kind of unfair because most don't have back-end businesses built in. And so I can go in and say, let's just throw all the revenue we make back into content because I don't need it.
That's brilliant, because one of the things, especially when I first started really, really coming on to the scene, kind of like you, is I didn't just want to depend off of YouTube. We've seen what's been happening with some bigger creators getting their channels flagged, you know, for whatever reason. And so now you start to wonder, okay, this is all that I have. What else do I have on the back end? You reverse engineer in a way that I always explain to people. Don't just look to pop off on YouTube. See YouTube as a launching pad for other things that you have on, where you have YouTube as like your ecosystem, and then you have just these different planets and really just different stratospheres around it. You know, not to get too scientific here, but that's really how I see it. And the way that you describe it is just how I would tell anyone, mimic that, play that clip back, go back 25, 30 seconds and really listen to that again.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I teach my students this with real estate investing. It's like, you never want to be reliant on one source for anything. So if I have a lender who's doing a lot of my deals, he's partnering with me, he's a great guy. You know what, though? At the end of the day, that guy controls my business, because if he stops lending to me, everything else falls over. So I can't have just one lender and be reliant on him. Starting out, sure. Like, he's the only guy. I got to, you know, that's cool. But I want to always be looking for more lenders. Same thing with contractors. I don't want one contractor doing all my jobs. People ask me all the time, they're like, do you have one guy? Like, what do you do? I'm like, heck no, dude. If that dude bounces, everything crumbles. Same thing with getting deals. How are you getting deals? Well, we get deals in many different ways, because sometimes, like now, the MLS is super hard to get deals on. There's nothing for sale. We got to go direct to seller. We got to, you know, talk to wholesalers. And so with everything I do, I like to have my eggs in many different baskets, because it kind of protects me from ever like really falling like that. And so social media is the same thing, right? You know, YouTube could ban you tomorrow. You know, look at David Dobrik, for instance. Ironically, I just got off the phone with a guy named Joey Salads. I don't know if you've ever seen his stuff. So he's a, you know, he was a prank guy on YouTube. He had like 3-4 million subscribers, and then wow. YouTube pretty much like banned him for like just whatever drama. Wow. And he then started his own podcast with being a right-wing conservative like talk show guy. And that was part of the reason YouTube banned him. He was getting too political. For him, we actually sold him a house here in Vegas. That's why we're friends now. It just is like, I watch a guy like him who's making a ton of money on YouTube now have to figure out, all right, what am I going to do now? YouTube's not that source anymore, even though it was giving me, say, 90% of my income. You know, and I never want to be like that.
No, that's a dangerous place to be. I was having a conversation with my brother last week about that, where, dude, YouTube could be paying me $1 million a month. And if that's 90% of my income, that revenue source get cut out, you're out of business. You're gone.
For sure, man. For sure. Every YouTuber I know that, you know, makes the majority of their wealth on YouTube is super paranoid about their YouTube channel. And I know a lot of them, and they're like, so, because they don't, most of them aren't diversified into the TikToks or have like real businesses, right? Their business is themselves as a creator. And it's like, yo, you better start creating some real businesses, because this ain't gonna last forever.
100%, especially as we continue to see gray areas with why content is taken down or why it stays on. And then not really understanding who's controlling it on the back end. Are these manual audits? Are these automatic audits? Are these bots? So that's why, like I said, that's why I wanted to really bring you on, because you've actually built some stuff in real life, which I always tell people, yes, it's cool to have your personal brand because it feeds your business, but having your real business feeds your personal brand as well. So having both running simultaneously, I think it's brilliant of you. What are you working on in 2021 that you would like for our audience to kind of get a glance at, or even going into 2022?
Yeah, man. We got two big things going on. You know, I would say for the first, 5 years of my business career, it was just strictly real estate. Like, let's build my house flipping investing business to be, the best it can be. And that's, what made me wealthy and gave me credibility. That was great. In 2020, I made the choice to focus on content, building this out. And, that turned out to be a great choice as well. And now it's positioned me to do a bunch of other things. The two big things that we've done this year that we just launched are, one, my e-commerce business. So it's called Lunar Ecom, and we do the Amazon and Walmart automation. And that was a scary one to get into because everybody thinks it's a scam. And it, for me anyways, I thought it was a scam starting out until I actually got my own store. This was back in December, just to try it out.
You made a video.
Doing it for 6 months and making, all this money, I realized, I'm like, damn, like, this is legit if you have the right person doing it for you. That's the big if, because unfortunately most people doing it are not very smart and not very, have much integrity. I'll just leave it at that. So, that was one for me that I was like, dude, I know this is a huge opportunity, but do I want to risk it brand wise? Are people going to say I'm a scammer, whatever? And then it just went back down to, you know what? People still say that about wholesaling and flipping houses and being a guru with that. They're like, this guy's a scammer. I'm like, actually, it just doesn't even really matter what anyone thinks. Like, I'm just like, I don't even care. I'm just going to do what I do. And, our customers and the people that actually work with us will know. So there's that.
Really quickly for that business, is that you bringing in your capital to fund someone already doing it, where you kind of funnel them through, or is that your venture?
My venture. So okay, I own everything.
Okay.
We do everything for them. So, we got that with Lunar Ecom. The second thing is my fund. So I just started Pineda Capital. And, that was one that has always been on my radar, but I never wanted to like pursue it until I felt like, hey, we're ready. This is the way to go. And man, that one's going to be really fun. That one's going to be really fun. We already got 334 units locked up. We were actually just in Georgia last week looking at them and filming some content at them. That's the beauty of social media. You can monetize, literally, I just film my life. Like, I don't even, I know there are other creators that have to like script. You asked me about scripting. Yeah. You're like, do you script and all this? I'm like, dude, I just film my life. Like, whatever's going on is what we're filming that week. So we filmed there, and man, that deal is going to be really sweet. And it's just going to be fun to now offer something where it's like, look, I don't need to teach you real estate investing. Like, we're just going to do it for you. And just, you got to be an accredited investor. This is all filed with SEC and all this stuff. It took like 4 months to get it done with the lawyers and all this stuff. But, now that it's going, it's super exciting because this is one of those opportunities that having social media influence really like can be amplified to the extreme. Just having eyeballs and people that trust you, know you, like you, they're willing to invest with you. And, they probably have seen all these deals I've done over the years, just me talking about them.
Yeah.
And now to be able to be a part of it, they're like, oh, like, this is great. So I'm excited for that. We actually have a webinar today just where I'm going to break down the deal and, tell people what they can expect as a return and, explain what a real estate fund is, because most people have no idea. And, my goal for that is to just build that into this behemoth. I think within the next 5 years, we could own $1 billion in real estate.
And I absolutely love it.
It's a lofty goal, but you know, maybe we'll look back on this a few years from now and say, "Yep, he said it.
He called it. He called it." pull one of those Gary V segments where he go back in the future, 2021. He said this.
How many outlandish things though has Gary V said? He's just like, yeah, you know, like nine out of ten of them didn't happen, but you know, here's the one, and he just showcased.
Yeah. It's like, you know, even a broken clock strikes, you know, right twice, right?
Right. I gotta say like 10 outlandish clips, and then you know, I can go back.
Yeah, we'll just delete the other nine.
Yeah.
Good deal. So where can they get access to you? By the way, is that fund already available or not yet?
Yep. So the fund's available. If they want to apply for it, you got to be an accredited investor. You can go to panadacapital.com. You can see all the information there. And even if we fill up that, well, we will fill up this fund, we'll then just start subsequent funds and new deals and stuff. So definitely apply.
Okay. Good deal. So if they can't get their hands on this deal, you're always going to be shopping regardless, just because you're so heavily plugged into the real estate world. And I know that you also have, I know we have to go here, but you also have your courses. So if let's say someone says, well, Ryan, I still want to learn how to, you know, invest in my own deals, or I actually do want to be a creator, I want to start building my personal brand, where can they find access to all of that?
Yeah. So if you want to work with me in any capacity, because I've got a bunch of different companies we didn't even talk about, you can just go to ryanpineda.com, and it has all my courses. It has all my companies, has all the, you know, latest things. If we're having events or different things, we'll always advertise it there. So that's easy. That's the best way to do it.
Okay. So ryanpineda.com. And then we'll go ahead and link all of that down. Like I said, if you guys are watching on YouTube, down in the description. And if you guys are tuning in either over on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you're using, brother, I appreciate you hopping on the show and just blessing us here with some knowledge, man. Truly appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to have to, when you're in Vegas, hit me up and let's get you on my podcast.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. You guys, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Inside with Irv show. If you guys like this episode, consider hitting that subscribe button and consider giving us a 5-star review. Until next time, everyone, we will see you in the next episode.